A lot can happen between falling in love with a house online and owning it. Between imagining living there and breathing in your new home for the first time. Having an advocate who can help you navigate the complex world of financing, inspections, negotiating, analyzing the market, and talking through any anxieties that may pop up, that can make all the difference. That's what the expertise of a Realtor can do for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and bound by a code of ethics. Because that's who we are.
Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock, hard rock, and heavy metal. A best-selling author, host of TV's That Metal Show, and seven national radio shows, including Trunk Nation, daily on Sirius XM.
Interesting.
Eddie offers the world his news-making interviews, passionate analysis, honest commentary, and who knows what else. So welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Everybody, it's Eddie Trunk here, and it's time for another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, which is new every Thursday via podcastone.com and iTunes. Hope you're having a great week, and thank you for downloading, streaming, and listening wherever you may be doing so. Got a couple cool interviews for you this week that I'm very excited to bring to you. Another double dip. I'll be joined shortly by, from Saxon, Biff Byford, and from Thin Lizzy and Black Star Riders, Scott Gorham. Both bands currently out on tour, opening for Judas Priest. They're also breaking off and doing their own concerts as a headliner in their own venues. And that's kind of cool if you want to see some extended time from these two great bands. Opportunity to do that at select cities. I'm going to actually be hosting a show with these guys that they're going to be doing. Let me tell you right now, I'm going to my own website, which is what I suggest everybody do when they want to find out what's going on in music news and with me and appearances and things like that. So I can tell you that I'm going to be with Saxon and Black Star Riders hosting a show in Milwaukee, and that will be at the Pottawatomie Casino, and that's on April 7th. There you go. I just found that on the homepage of EddieTrunk.com, like all my appearances. So I'm looking forward to seeing both bands in headlining sets, doing a Q&A with them as well. So if you're in Milwaukee, that's on April 7th, Northern Lights Theater. Should be a lot of fun. So we're going to talk to Scott Gorham extensively this week about Thin Lizzy stuff and, of course, about Black Star Riders, his current band. And I'm also going to spend some time talking with Biff Byford of Saxon, a band that's spent a lot of time here in America lately. Of course, they're a British band, spent a lot of time here in the U.S., and recently did two legs of touring, opening for UFO. Now they are direct support to Judas Priest here in the U.S., like I said, also doing their own shows. So a good double bill for you today. If you're a Thin Lizzy fan, a Saxon fan, a Black Star Riders fan, got some good content for you to check out very shortly. Before we get to it, though, let me run down the rest of the appearances, and they include some great stuff for you next week. Next Thursday, the 29th of March, if you're in the Dallas area, I'm in McKinney, Texas at the Guitar Sanctuary doing my speaking Q&A show. Stump the Trunk as well with a live audience, which means you if you come out to the show. And I'll have plenty of prizes as well. Again, March 29th, a week from tonight, if you're listening on post day, Guitar Sanctuary, McKinney, Texas, for my live speaking Q&A Stump the Trunk show. And everybody who buys a ticket, I think tickets are only $20, and you all get free beer. How can you beat that? McKinney is just outside of Dallas. Great venue. I've been there before. The Guitar Sanctuary, a very cool place. And I hope to see all of you guys in the Dallas area on March 29th. Also, the next day, March 30th, I'll be doing my radio show live from the same place, Guitar Sanctuary in McKinney, from 1 to 3 local time. John 5 sitting in. You're welcome to come down and watch that broadcast. It is totally free. Remember, though, the Friday afternoon deal is just watching the radio show. There is no meet and greet. There is no performance of any kind. I will be doing a, as I said, speaking performance on Thursday night with the Stump Trunk stuff and all that. Friday is just simply the radio show and the great John 5 sitting in with me. All the information on eddietrunk.com. So two big appearances Thursday, Friday of next week in the Dallas area. As I mentioned, Pottawatomie, Northern Lights Theater, April 7th with Saxon and Black Star Riders. April 13th, back in Tulsa, IDL Ballroom for LA Guns. Tickets now at StubWire. April 22nd, back in Houston, Proof Rooftop Lounge, great venue for Tom Kiefer. May 4th, Merriweather Post Pavilion. And that is for the M3 Rock Festival. May 6th, I'm in Encino hosting the Ride for Ronnie Dio charity event. Rocklahoma coming up. Striper May 30th at the IDL in Tulsa. Just announced speaking show at the venue in Cincinnati June 9th. And way down the line, November 3rd, I'll be at something called 80s in the Sand in the Dominican Republic. My goodness, a date already in November. As I said, everything, as it's confirmed, as well as music news, as well as my blog, as well as All Access membership, as well as ways to order signed copies of my books, all of it is on the homepage or on the various pages of eddietrunk.com. Have a listen, have a look, I should say. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Eddie Trunk for all your social media connections. Just got back a few days ago from Mexico. I flew into Cancun, and I'm really excited to announce that I've shot and resumed production on a new TV show that I'll be hosting for Access TV called Trunk Fest. You may remember I talked about it last year some as we were shooting the beginning of it. Then the winter hit, and the festivals kind of chilled out and calmed down a little bit. And now with things resuming and starting up again, we started up production again. And I shot an episode last weekend in Riviera Maya, Mexico, at the Hard Rock. What an amazing facility that is. I mean, absolutely incredible place. And I've never seen or been to any of these all-inclusive resorts where literally every single thing is included. From the mini bar to drinks to food, it was amazing. I had no idea it was going to be like that. I've never experienced anything like that. And like an idiot, I left a couple days early where I could have hung out and had some downtime, totally free and included, but I got back early to the snow back in New Jersey. But really cool spot. Great to be with my Access crew again. Great to knock out another episode. This one is more in the country world. It featured the Zac Brown Band and Blackberry Smoke among the acts that played. The setting was amazing. The event was called Castaway. Got to meet a couple of the guys from all the guys from Blackberry Smoke, who very nice. They were fans of what I've done, which was really cool. And also the same with the guys in the Zac Brown Band, who are a huge band. I mean, not necessarily in my world as far as music is concerned, but I respect what they do, and they are amazingly popular. I mean, they do stadiums. It's crazy how big they are. Good guys, fun weekend. Amazing setting in outside of Cancun, Mexico. I'd love to go back to that Hard Rock. I haven't got a chance to visit the Brett Michaels suite. He has a suite that he designed there that was just amazing. I texted him. I told him I wanted the friends and family rate when I go there for a vacation one of these days. So that was very cool. And I have great news for you about Trunk Fest because I have an air date and a premiere date and time for you. And that is July 1st. I've just been told by the network that my show will premiere July 1st, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific. Sunday nights is when you'll see this show debut on Access TV. Real excited about that. Again, starting July 1st, Sunday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Access. more when we get a little closer. I still got to do about 3 or 4 more episodes before the entire season is complete, but can't wait for you guys to see those shows. All right, let's get into our interviews because we got 2 of them for you, like I said, this week. We'll start off talking with really a guy that is a legendary figure in hard rock around the world, and that is guitarist Scott Gorham, who spent so much of the 70s and 80s as a member of the guitar duo that was just so cool. I mean, that signature guitar duo in Thin Lizzy, whether it was Brian Robertson and Scott Gorham, John Sykes and Scott Gorham. Scott Gorham there for the majority of the time and on all the classic Thin Lizzy recordings. We talk a little Thin Lizzy. We talk about Black Star Riders, who have 3 albums out now. Scott is currently on tour with them, as I mentioned. And then interview number 2, a little interview with Biff Byford of Saxon, talking a little bit about what's going on in their world and their new album, which has recently been released as well. We'll get to Scott Gorham first. We'll do that coming up on the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Hey, if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
Hey, podcast listener, this is Rob Cisternino. I'm the Rob, and Rob has a podcast, and the new season of Survivor is just getting started, and we've got new episodes for you 5 days a week. Join us for interviews with your favorite past Survivor players and this season's losers right after they get their torch snubbed. Listen free to Rob Has a Podcast, exclusively available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. And if you like the show, why not share it with a friend or leave us a rating and review on iTunes?
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
And we're back on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. And as I often say, all of the interviews that you hear on the podcast are courtesy of my daily music talk and interview show called Trunk Nation, which you can hear every day on Sirius XM Channel 106 Volume. And it airs live 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. It replays every night, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, and you can get full shows on demand on the SiriusXM app. If you have SiriusXM, please join me. If you don't, consider joining me for daily rock talk and interviews every single day on Volume, my daily show on Channel 106. Here on the podcast, I give you just a little sampling of what goes on each and every day on the radio show. And these interviews come from that. So here we go with, as I mentioned, Scott Gorham of Thin Lizzy and Black Star Riders, first in our double dip this week. Enjoy. Scott, how are you, man?
Good, Eddie. How you doing?
I'm good. How was the first show the other night?
Well, you know, the first show was good. It was good for all 3 bands. You know, it went with, a big kind of production thing like this. It takes like 1 or 2 shows for the whole thing to click in at 100%. But, you know, I think we got probably 95% last night. So the next couple of shows are going to be pretty well greased. So it's going to be great.
You guys have done the Priest touring with Priest in the past. That was 5-6 years ago, right?
Yeah, we did that as Thin Lizzy. I think we toured around with them for about 4 or 5 weeks. Something like that. And that was a great tour. That was more of a summer thing. So obviously weather never came into a lot of the big outdoor sheds and arenas, all that. It was a great tour. So it's good to be back with, the guys from Judas Priest. We're all great friends. We're all great friends with the guys from Saxon. So it's kind of like this one great big happy family kind of tooling around the country together. So it's very cool.
I didn't realize that when you, I of course I was at that show, but I didn't realize that was still, you guys were still under the name Thin Lizzy at that time. I didn't realize that. I thought it was Black Star Riders.
No, I think what it was on that one, it was a, like one of those anniversary tours. It's kind of like what we did last year. I think it was the 40th for Thin Lizzy. So we picked out six shows, and we just picked the specific cities to do them in. Because it wasn't, we had no intention of doing a, you know, like a 3-month Thin Lizzy tour. It was, like I say, six shows. We had Scott from Judas Priest on bass, and Tom from Aerosmith. So it was kind of one of these all-star lineups that was really pretty cool, right? But like I say, it was never going to be like a 3-month Thin Lizzy tour. We might do it. There's talk of us doing it next year for the anniversary of the Live and Dangerous album. The 50th. Wow, 50 years, man. That hurts my back even thinking about that.
Wait, 50 years since what? Live and Dangerous?
No, 50 years since we just put the band together. You know.
Oh, right. Okay, because Live and Dangerous is coming up on, is probably about 40 years now, right?
That's right. That'll be the 40th. I think that's either this year or next, you know. So look out for that one, you know. So we need you to buy that album, everybody.
Well, you know, you mentioned, I mean, we're going to talk Black Star Riders in a second, but you mentioned the Thin Lizzy stuff. You did that, those dates, they didn't play in America, but you did go out with as Thin Lizzy again. And you mentioned, I know Tom Hamilton from Aerosmith played bass, and you said, right, Scott Travis, who's in Priest, of course, was the drummer.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's amazing, you know, to be able to cherry pick all these really great musicians from very cool bands, you know, and not realizing really that these guys were, you know, huge fans of Thin Lizzy. And, you know, these guys can walk straight in and pretty much, you know the song straight off the bat, you know. So it makes everybody's job a lot easier, and it's a lot more fun, you know. So these guys get to play the Thin Lizzy songs that they've always wanted to play, and it's great that, you know, the audience can see these sort of iconic figures up on the stage in a whole different kind of atmosphere. So it's a pretty cool thing we got going on with that whole side of Thin Lizzy.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. You're really having the best of both worlds now, because I think you really did, as I told you many times, when what was Thin Lizzy and has become Black Star Riders, when you guys decided that you wanted to make new music with that band, I thought it was incredibly smart to change the name and start to work under Black Star Riders. So now you actually only almost have kind of two different things here. Because everybody loves Thin Lizzy, every musician loves Thin Lizzy, they're timeless songs. So you can put these great bands together to pay tribute to that stuff and all that great stuff with Phil. But then when you want to create new music, you're really establishing now with three Black Star Riders records a whole different thing. I mean, do you feel that Black Star Riders is at the point now where it stands on its own as its own band and not looked at as a Thin Lizzy sort of offshoot?
So, absolutely. In fact, we even felt that from the second album on. The first album, we were just kind of thinking about, well, should we, you know, a new Thin Lizzy album. And then it was absolutely not. We are not going to do that. You know, we still had songs that had the sort of the Lizzy vibe, if you will, to it, because we were writing, you know, towards that end. But it was really the second album, The Killer Instinct, that's, you know, kind of set us free, if you will. You know, we kind of busted the chains on that one. And we were able to write really sort of any way we wanted to from that point on. So that was great. But you're right. You know, we're all like in this really lucky position that we can do the Black Star Riders, but also at the same time, we can also get out there and do these kind of really sort of special short run shows with Thin Lizzy. So it's great.
That being said, it's no secret. I mean, especially here in the U.S., it's incredibly difficult, no matter what your history, your lineage, your association to other bands. Of course, you being in Black Star Riders and your history with Thin Lizzy. I mean, even all of that, anyone will tell you it's incredibly difficult to break through with a rock band these days. How have you found this now? Three records out with Black Star Riders. I know you do a lot of your work outside of the U.S. with this band, but now you're coming through again. Is there going to be a more of a focus and a commitment to try to really get this going in the U.S.?
Well, you know, we would all like to see that. You know, it's, you're absolutely right. We have, you know, mainly stayed pretty much just out of America because we, you know, that's kind of our main draw is everywhere else but America. So I think it's time to, and that's what this tour is kind of affording us is, you know, let's dip the big toe back into the water of America, right, and see how the audiences are, you know, accepting us or not accepting, whatever. You know, this is like a, you know, testing ground right now. So far, I mean, we've only had one show, but, you know, already the reviews are great. So, you know, we're off to a great start right now. So, you know, yeah, I think it's time that we start concentrating a lot more on America.
I give you a lot of credit, man, because I talk to a lot of guys that are around your age and that have, you know, come from bands that had big histories like Thin Lizzy, and they want no part of trying to establish a new band in the U.S. right now. Yeah, and here you are. Tough. You got three records out, three really good records, and you're out there now doing it. So I give you a lot of credit. Yeah. I think it's great.
Well, thanks. I mean, you know, America has always traditionally been the hardest nut to crack, you know, for really almost any rock band out there. I mean, you've talked to enough of us guys, right? They'll let you know that, you know, touring in America is the hard one, right? So, and if you can do it, you know, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. but it really is true. So everybody in their right mind wants to do well in America, and we're no exception. We want the same thing as every other band out there. It's why we're back here, and we're just hoping that the audiences are going to climb on the train with us and have fun with us. So here we go.
And the irony of that, Scott, is the fact that, as you well know, and we've talked about many times, with all your years in Thin Lizzy, America was the toughest nut to crack, too. And to this day, Thin Lizzy means so much more to people outside of the U.S. than you do here. So, you know, here we go again. I mean, it was the same thing for Lizzy back in the day, right?
Yeah, you're right. You know, I mean, like, I used to and still do get the question, why weren't you guys bigger in America? You should have cracked that country wide open with all the songs you had, all the playing that you did. And, you know, I don't think there's any real definitive answer of why we weren't able to completely, you know, dominate America. You know, my whole thing is if you look at a map of America and you look at the very edges, right, if you could see water, we did great. But as soon as we went inland and you lost any ocean, we were kind of screwed at that point. So, and I don't know what the reason for that was, but that seemed to be the pattern. So hopefully this time, you know, we'll be able to come up with an album or a song or a show that we do that will convince more people that hey, maybe these guys can really do some business here. So that's what we're after.
How long of a set are you playing on the when it's the? I know you're going to do some break off shows on your own or just with Saxon, but when with the three bill package when you're in the first slot with Priest, how long of a set are you having?
Well, see, now this is the tough side of things here, Eddie. I've talked to I talked to Biff last night about it. We're both playing sets that are probably the shortest sets we've played in 30, 35 years. We've got a 40-minute slot, and Samson have 50. Now, the hard thing with that is not what songs you're going to put in, but what songs are you not going to play? And there's always going to be songs where people are going to come up to you and say, why didn't you do blah, 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 or why didn't you do that? And so I think, you know, maybe the plan is we're going to try to mix it up a lot on this tour. You know, in one city we'll play this set, and the next city we'll maybe add two different songs and try to go that route so we can play as many of the Black Star Riders songs as we possibly can. I mean, that's really the only way we can do it. But, you're in the starting blocks. You go, bang, okay, 40 minutes, bang, you're off, you know. So, you know, you got to hit them hard and quick as fast as you can. So,
and what time are you taking? On the pre-states, what time are you guys going on? So that's because that's an important thing too for people that do want to see you and are going to the pre-shows. You got to make sure you get in there early because you don't want to miss the band. And I can tell you, having seen Black Star Riders many times, you do not want to miss them. So what time are you on? Are you on usually 7:30? What's your start time?
You know, Eddie, I love you, man, for bringing that up. You're the coolest guy ever. But it's always between 7 and 7:30. That's the usual spots right there.
Okay, so people are want to go see this band and get in there early if you can. I mean, go right from work, whatever you got to do, because there are people that will wander in at like 8:15, 8:30, and Saxon's on. Well, I didn't know they were playing. I didn't see them. So make sure you get in there and try to check them out. And again, you'll do the cool thing is on some of the nights off, you're going to be doing your own shows as well.
That's right. Yeah, which will be nice because we'll be back to our. Our hour and a half or hour and three quarters sets. We can actually, who's ever coming down here, you can see actually what Black Star Riders really does. You know, the 40 minute set is really kind of like a highlight kind of deal. It's the only way you can really look at it. But in my mind, we've got so many highlights. It's what I said before. It's what you're not going to play. That's the hard part. So, if you're coming home from work, forget about taking a shower. Just jump in the car and go straight down to the arena.
There you go. And as I mentioned before, April 7th, you guys, it's just a Saxon Black Star Riders show happening in Milwaukee. And I'm going to be hosting that one and doing some Q&A stuff with you for the casino and for the crowd there that night. So that'll be fun. I'll get to see full sets from you guys. And I'm looking forward to that. I forgot to ask you, Scott, when you're playing and it's Black Star Riders, do you do any Thin Lizzy songs anymore or no?
No, we do. We slam in probably like two songs. And once again, we will kind of mix that up also because there's this sort of a wealth of product there to actually choose from. So, one night we'll do Jailbreak. Another night, Boys Are Back in Town. Maybe Cowboy Song. We'll whip it out for Texas, something like that, So there's from the Thin Lizzy catalog, there's a hell of a lot to choose from there. So that's always fun to figure out, which ones we're going to be playing that night for, any particular audience.
And another real quick thing about Thin Lizzy, you talk about how back in the day and in the 70s and what have you, when you only really did well in America and the places that you could see water on the coasts. But I think over the decades, and especially now, you mentioned guys like Tom Hamilton and all these people wanting to play those songs. I don't know if you feel this and you sense this over the last 10, 15 years, but I think there's a whole new appreciation for Thin Lizzy's music. I think there's a lot of people late to the party, but I think they're really, really getting it and really, really into it now. I think it's become it's sinking in. Also, you see a lot of people covering Thin Lizzy material more, like Ace Frehley and Slash recently did a version of Emerald. I don't know if you heard that, but there's a lot of people doing it.
That sounds very interesting. I'd love to hear them. Well, and also I think what happened too is in the earlier days, dads used to bring their sons or their daughters to the shows, and now they've grown up and they're doing the same with their kids. So it's great to see it's with the whole Lizzy thing, it's like a very sort of generational thing that's they've been kind of brought up with it. So it's nice to see that a lot of these younger guys actually know their musical history, whether it be Thin Lizzy or not, they seem to know, a lot of the 70s and 80s music, which is great. So it really keeps the whole rock thing up front.
Yeah, it does. Hey, we have one or two people on the phone that would love to ask you a quick question. Do you have time for that or do you have to go?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
Let's conference in a couple quick callers for Scott Gorham, because we got David in Chicago, Ron in Chicago have questions for Scott. So I don't usually tie people in on the phone, but we have a little extra time here, so I'd love to do that. Let's get David on. Hey, David, you're on with Scott Gorham. Go ahead.
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Good, David. How's everything?
So I saw you guys last year in Germany opening for Foreigner.
Okay.
I was that crazy guy in front. I was that guy cheering you on while everybody else sat on their ass.
Was that you? Well, I was glad you were there.
That was me, man. you threw out some guitar picks to me. Security wouldn't let me come up to you, but everything was cool. No worry about it.
Yeah,
David, your phone's not working too good. You got a question there, buddy?
I think you already...
His phone was terrible. That's why I don't normally do it. His phone wasn't working. Ron in Chicago. Let's try one more. Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, Ed. Thanks so much. Mr. Scott Gorham, what an honor and a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Hey, good to see you, Ron. Great. What do you got there?
Well, I'll tell you, I can't wait for this Milwaukee date that Eddie's talking about to see a full set from the mighty Black Star Riders. Speaking of set lists, I got to ask this. On a show like that, are we going to hear any tracks from the Almighty?
No, unfortunately not. You know, when you do these shows, we tend not to do any of the material from our offshoot things, like, say, from My 21 Gun things or Damon's Brother Kane or, you know, Ricky's, the Almighty. We'll stick mainly to, obviously, Black Star Riders. Then we'll sprinkle a bit of Thin Lizzy around in there. So I'm sorry about that, Bud, but... maybe at some point, I'll talk to Ricky and see if we can slam an Almighty song in there at some point. That's a good idea.
You could basically become a band, though. Then you just become this tribute band to all the other bands that everybody was in the band, Play some Brother Kane
Almighty,
stuff, like you said. Yeah.
Yeah, the
Almighty tribute.
Lizzy Black Stars, right, yeah.
Exactly right. Have you thought, Heavy Fire is, what, about a year old now? Have you started thinking about a new Black Star Riders record?
We have. We've got plans now of going back into the studio. I think it's September, August, September. So we'll be, back in Nashville with Nick Raskolinich once again. Spend a few weeks up there, rehearsing, writing. We're kind of writing all the time anyway. But we'll spend probably a week or a week and a half beforehand, just kind of gluing everything together, and then jump straight in and get into album number 4.
Amazing.
I find that incredible, because we were wondering if we were going to get any more albums after the first one, right? Now we're working on number 4, so there you go.
Keep pounding away, man. They're all good records. Yeah. And the last thing, Scott, before I let you go is, and then you kind of alluded to it, that there could be more Thin Lizzy stuff at some point to commemorate some of these anniversaries. Is there any other stuff? Like, I know a number of years ago, you and I did a radio special for that live Tower Theater show. And are there any other things mm-hmm. coming down the pike with Lizzy that we don't have yet that we could expect that you know of?
Well, there is. It's the all-encompassing, everything included with the kitchen sink, and probably will throw your grandmother in there with it, the box set. And this now has been on the cards for a couple of years now, but, unfortunately there's been some, not from our side, but, a couple of little legal things that had to be ironed out. And from what I hear, they're all ironed out now. So, things are getting ready to get shrink wrapped and thrown out there. So it's going to be a pretty interesting thing. There's things on there that we recorded years and years ago that I'm not sure if they should be on. Like, there's rehearsal things on. I listened to it and I'm down in the fetal position, shaking away, going, "Oh my God, man, this was never for human consumption. What are we doing?" So there's a few of those kind of interesting things on there also, along with everything else that we've done.
I must admit, I've gotten some of the special editions and deluxe things because I love getting all that stuff. But then there are times where I've gotten them. I was like, this was probably left off for a reason, at the time.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Actually, I met a guy last night who's sending me a copy of a live track that we did. It was a song called Romeo and the Lonely Girls. And apparently, right in the middle of the solo, I bust a string. So he's gonna send this to me, and I want to see how I actually got out of that one.
Well, there was that Lizzie box set that came out. Gosh, it was probably like 15 years ago. I don't think it ever officially came out in America. I have it. I think it's four CDs, if I'm not mistaken, which was cool. But you're saying this is going to be a massive thing.
Yeah, it's just gonna include everything. There was the conversation that came out that we found all these unreleased tapes and boxes in this closet somewhere. Well, Universal actually went around the world and gathered all of these things together, categorized and all that. I mean, it's literally hundreds of things that myself and Brian Downey had to go through. So there is a lot of stuff on this box set that I find. If you're a true Lizzie fan, you're going to find this probably at some spots a little overwhelming, but cool nonetheless,
Well, listen, man, I know you're just getting started on this tour. I wish you safe travels, and everybody listening, get out and see the band. Make sure you're there early if it's one of the Priest dates or the Sax and Black Star Riders dates. Those shows you'll get a little bit more from each band. I'll see you on April 7th in Milwaukee. I look forward to that. And say hi to the guys, Scott. Great to talk to you, okay?
I will. It's always great talking with you, Eddie, and we'll see you in Milwaukee then.
Sounds good, man. Take care.
All right, bud. See you. See you, everybody.
Well, thanks to Scott Gorham. Always good to talk to Scott, who lives in the UK, even though he is American. He has lived in England for over 20 years, I believe. And it's good to visit with him when he is in the US and a little easier to get. See Scott currently playing with Black Star Riders as discussed. All right, coming up next, interview number two on this week's Double Dip on the Eddie Trunk podcast is Biff Byford of Saxon, a guy that's been busy in the U.S., playing quite a bit with Saxon. We talk about the renewed interest in kind of reestablishing things in America with this legendary new wave of British heavy metal band. So let's talk with Saxon's Biff Byford, their lead singer, right now on the Eddie Trunk podcast. Biff, how are you, man?
Hi. I'm pretty good. We're just having a day off in Ohio. So, yeah, everything was good. It was good.
Welcome back to the U.S. You've been getting, I was saying this earlier before you called in. There was a while where Saxon was kind of dormant in America, but you've been hitting it hard here in the U.S. We love having you.
Yeah, we've been spending a lot of time here. The new album's selling phenomenal. It's really good. I mean, the record company phoned me up last week and said, you've gone top 30 in England. I was like, you sure you got the right band? So yeah, it's really, really took us by surprise. So yeah, we had a lot of people last night knew all the new songs. So yeah, it's going well.
What are you? I mean, you've got such, of course, Saxon currently on tour with Judas Priest and doing some of your own shows as well, which we'll touch on in a second. But I imagine, Biff, when you get out and you're playing with Priest, I mean, how long of a set do you have, first of all?
Well, we had a short set last night. We had some big technical issues, cables breaking, things like that. But about 50 to 55 minutes we've got. So we're just trying to cram as much stuff in there as possible. We just love Judas Priest. So it's a great package for the fans. I mean, we do it together in 1980 for the first time on Wheels of Steel and the British Steel Tour. So we have a big history with Priest. So everything's going to be great. It's going to be a great tour.
I was going to ask you about that. Did that tour happen in America or in the UK?
No, it's in Europe. We did Motorhead in the UK, our very first tour. And our very first tour of Europe was with Judas Priest. So we go back quite a way with Priest.
My gosh, what a time that was for metal. Priest has British Steel out. You guys have wheels of steel. I mean, that had to be unbelievable. I mean, you have fond memories of that, I would think.
Oh, yeah. Really, really great memories. It was fantastic. I mean, when we were on stage yesterday, and I said, in Wilkes-Barre, I said, this concert just reminds me of 1983, man. And everybody went crazy. So, yeah, it was really good. Really good. And we're looking forward to it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Priest is dealing with Glenn Tipton in his situation. How's the vibe been out on the road?
Good. I mean, Andy Snape's our producer, and he's Judas Priest producer, so He obviously knew the new songs. I mean, he did a good job last night. It was great. And I mean, I think Glenn might maybe pop along for a couple of shows. I don't know, I'm hoping he will do. That would be good. But yeah, you know, he's a good guy, so I'm sure he'll be around a couple of times. I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, I was going to mention that, actually. This is kind of like the Andy Sneap tour in a way, because he produced your new album, Thunderbolt. He also, of course, co-produced the new Priest record, and now he's playing in Priest. So he's got the most going on this tour, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, he's doing our last three albums, Andy. And I was saying to him yesterday, I was saying, you know, he must be earning some mega dollars. Can I borrow some money off you?
Yeah, he's doing good. I mean, he did good yesterday. He's a clever guy, Andy, and
he's always wanted to be a rock god, so now he is one.
So putting the set list together for this, how much are you able to put in from Thunderbolt? Because I imagine, obviously, you're opening for Priest. You want to make sure the crowd is into it, and you're going to have to play the Saxon classics, but you also want to represent the new record. And, of course, Saxon had made some great recent records before this as well, so how do you sort that all out? How have you balanced it, Biff?
Well, this tour, it's going to be mostly new album, mostly 80s stuff, actually. I think fans want to hear Denim and Leather and Crusader and, you know, as many of those songs. But we need to play, I think we're doing about 50-50, actually. We did four new songs yesterday. We'd like to do five, but, you know, we'll just play it by ear, really, and see how much time we've got. And we're going to play the big songs in there as well, yeah.
You guys released a new video for the track Nosferatu. I thought the song, the video was really cool, but I think the song's really cool too. A little bit, very, a little different from what, a little bit of a gothic feel, which makes sense considering the subject matter. But I thought when I first heard the record, I loved the track, and now you've got the video out for that. It looked like you had a good time making that too. Can you talk a little bit about that one?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, obviously, we wanted the track to be gothic, because it's obviously about Dracula, but I wanted it to be gothic, and, you know, we had the idea of, somebody asked me to do that song for a film. A producer said, could you do a song about Dracula? So we did that song. Whether the song will be on the film or not, I don't know. I can't tell you anything about it, because they had to sign a piece of paper saying it was a top secret, but the song might end up on the film at some point, you know, we can get a bit gothic when we want to. The video was shot by some students at the Welsh University down there in Cardiff on the first show in England. So, they shot that as part of the degree. My daughter shot the spooky stuff in the old monastery at midnight and a full moon. So, yeah, it was pretty good fun putting it together. Came together pretty quick. I mean, it took the guys about, 2 days to edit it together. I sort of okayed it yesterday, and it went out as we went on stage, actually, so it was good, yeah.
Big difference making videos now versus when you made them back in the day, right? I mean, now you can do them so much more affordably. You mentioned your did you say your daughter worked on it?
Yeah, my daughter worked on it. She'd done a bit of work for us, and she works on my son's band's videos and stuff, so... You know, she's pretty cool at it. She knows what looks good and what doesn't. So yeah, it's pretty good keeping the family.
Yeah, and you know, I noticed the album. Of course, you dedicated the record to Lemmy. I would think that was pretty much an obvious thing to do, right? With given your history with Lem.
Yeah, definitely. And we wrote a song about that first tour we did called "They Played Rock and Roll." Which has turned into a bit of a tribute song now because Eddie died. We just wanted to try and bring that sort of flavor back from the 80s, you know, that style of Motorhead Saxon style of playing back then, you know, fast and furious, bit of punk metal going on there. But the song turned out great, and it's going down really well live. So it's nice to have Lemmy on stage. I mean, you know, we have his voice on the song. I asked the fans on Facebook what they thought about putting his voice on the live like it is on the album. And everybody said put it in, but it was so loud on stage last night that I thought it was still behind me.
And you have on the record, do you have Johan from Amon Amarth on here too? Did I see that right?
Yeah, he's a good mate. We've been out drinking with a man and math a few times. But, you know, when we did the song, I sang that low octave myself on the demo. And, you know, I thought Johan's voice would sound good on it. A little bit left field, you know, for Saxon. But I think it's nice to include some of the newer, you know, newer modern styles into one song at least. So yeah, a bit of a curveball, but I think he did a fantastic job, and you know, he really liked the song. You know,
well, I'm sure a lot of these newer metal bands certainly grew up listening to and were influenced by Saxon. I mean, Biff, before you know it, you become one of the elder statesmen here, man.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it sort of grows on you now, and I'll be prime minister next. You watch. But he did a great job, and you know, we like A Man of Math. They're one of the newer bands, and you know, they're really strong around the world, and I'm sure people are going to listen to that track and think, you know, I love it, or nah, it's not my thing, you know. So, but that's what music's all about, isn't it? You know, making a few people turn their heads and listen to a different sort of aspect sometimes.
So have you enjoyed coming here? And, you know, I said earlier, I think it's kind of, it kind of feels like the band is starting to sort of almost reestablish things in America. You did the two runs of shows recently with UFO, which were great. And then you've gotten this great run of records, and you're coming over here a lot more. Has that been a conscious thing for you know, after working in Europe and England so much, let's get back to the U.S.?
Yeah, definitely has. We've got a good team around the band now, you know, so we can move forward. You know, you're going to have a great team that sort of is 100% on what you want to do, and you know, with the advice and everything. So yeah, I mean, we did the Motorhead tour 2015 as well, just before Lemmy died, and we did a few shows with Priest just before that. So yeah, we took a conscious effort to come back to America. You know, we have a lot of fans here, and it's growing and growing and growing now, especially with the new album. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to be seeing us in America quite a lot, I think, in the future.
And looking back on that last run with UFO, how was that? You did two runs with them in the U.S. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, it was good. It was only a short one, the second one. But yeah, it was good fun. I mean, we love UFO. We only ever tour with people who we love anyway. I mean, you know, we're not really a sport band, but you know, we'll take a pay cut if we love the band. That's all, you know. Motorhead, Judas Priest, UFO, all great bands, so we like it.
We should mention that in addition to you guys playing with Judas Priest right now, you're also on nights off from Priest. You're doing your own shows with Black Star Riders, so you become the headline, Black Star Riders in support, and I know there's a bunch of those shows. Everybody should go to Saxon747.com to see what you're getting by you, whether it's just Saxon and Black Star Riders or whether it's the whole Priest package, but I was excited to see that.
A lot of the headline things are us and Black Star Riders. Some of them are on our own, but I think most of them are with Black Star Riders, and obviously, we'll both be playing longer sets then. We'll be playing a full headline set. We'll actually be playing the same set list we've just played in UK and Europe. So that'll be like an hour 45, 2 hours or something like that. So the headline shows will be much more, much sort of longer. And yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, and I don't know if you know this, but I was telling Ace, one of your managers, last night, the show you're playing, which is on April 7th in Milwaukee, at the Pottawatomie Casino, they're going to have they do something different there, where they have the artists do Q&As with the audience before they play. So they're bringing me out to do a little intro Q&A piece with both you and Black Star Riders to that show before you play.
All right, that'd be novel.
Yeah, so it's apparently something they do at that casino, and they contacted me about it and said, would you do it? And I said, I'd love to, and I know all the guys in both bands, so it should be fun. So, the show, and then we can go hit the tables. I don't know if you gamble at all, but...
Bring the wine.
I'm sure there's plenty of wine, and there's plenty of gambling. It's a casino. We shouldn't have any problem.
No, we shouldn't. We should take Andy's team and spend all the money he's been earning.
Well, he won't be with us that day because it's just you guys and Black Star Riders. So.
Yeah, they're having the day off. I'll talk him into coming down. It'll be all right.
And before I let you go, tell me about the guys. Do you have history with Scott Gorham and the Black Star Riders guys?
Not too much. I know Ricky from the Almighty Days. And You know, I knew Phil Lynott, and I didn't really know Scott much. I have met on various occasions, but he's not really a drinking buddy. I went out to Stringfellas a couple of times with Phil Lynott, and I knew Brian Robertson because he was in Motorhead, obviously, for a while, and he was in is it Crazy Horses? I think something like that, Wild Horses or something like
that. Wild Horses, yeah.
That toured with us for some time in the 80s. So I did know a couple of them, yeah. But no, I don't really have a huge sort of, playing together history and touring together. But I do know them. And I know some of the other guys in Black Star Riders as well. So, yeah, I mean, they're a great band, no doubt about it. So it's a good package, definitely.
Yeah, and they've gone out with Priest before, too, so it's a bit of another run with them. That was just a few years ago, certainly not as far back as you guys did. But... yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, man, I'm glad we had a chance to talk for a few minutes. I wanted to, just say hello again with the tour getting ready to get started. If you guys are going out to see Priest, be sure you get there and make sure you're there to see Saxon and Black Star Riders, who are the opening acts on that. And then go to Saxon747.com. There is the video right on the homepage there for the new song Nosferatu, which we talked about. And you can scroll through the dates and you can... yeah, you can go scroll through the dates and you can see where they're, what shows are coming to what cities and which bands are playing and whether it's just you guys as the headline or whatever the case may be.
Right.
All good stuff, Biff. I look forward to seeing you in Milwaukee, if not sooner, and say hi to the guys and safe travels out there, okay?
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. And thanks to everybody for buying the album. 'Tis the year of the Thunderbolt. We'll see you all on the road.
Take care, man. Thank you very much.
Okay, see you later, Eddie. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, thanks to Biff Byford, and earlier, thank you to Scott Gorham of Thin Lizzy and Black Star Riders. See both bands currently on tour opening for Judas Priest, also doing their own shows, including April 7th in Milwaukee at the Pottawatomie Casino in the Northern Lights Theater. That one I will be hosting headline sets from both Saxon and Black Star Riders, and I'll be doing Q&As with both bands there as well. As usual, all of my appearances, as I say, on the homepage of EddieTrunk.com. Come out and see me. Follow on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Eddie Trunk. And thanks to Katie Irizarry. She is the producer of the Eddie Trunk podcast. New episodes every Thursday, always free, at podcastone.com and iTunes. And don't forget, if you're shopping on Amazon, start on my Amazon page, amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. Handpicked items there from me, as well as anything else you want to buy on Amazon, just start on that page, amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. Have a great week, everybody, and I will see you next Thursday for another all-new episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Hi, I'm Spencer Raskoff, the CEO of Zillow Group, and I have a new podcast here on Podcast One called Office Hours. Listen as I have one-on-one conversations with other CEOs. We have the kind of conversations that can only happen between peers, tackling tough questions, sharing hard-won insights, and helping to define what leadership means today. Join me twice a month on Office Hours, exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the new Podcast One app.
It's one thing falling in love with a house, picturing yourself moving in and calling it home, and quite another navigating the world of price negotiating, mortgage lenders, and finding the budget that works best for you. An agent who's a realtor can make understanding that world easier. Realtors have the expertise, access to proprietary data, and tools to help you get from imagining living somewhere to actually doing it. That's the kind of help we can provide. Because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.